When you're late for church service, you get angry. When you get angry, you need to blow off steam. When you need to blow off steam, you meet new people. When you meet new people, you start a garage band. When you start a garage band, you lose track of time. When you lose track of time, you miss the birth of your first child. And when you miss the birth of your first child, you get punched in the face by your mother-in-law. Don't get punched in the face by your mother-in-law. Lose the anger and get wisdom.
Well, hello, CCB. Glad you made the choice to be here this weekend. I just want to welcome everybody on all of our campuses as we continue to dive into this series called Wisdom, where we're studying the book of Proverbs. And I do want to let you know, this is really important, that we're not only studying the book of Proverbs on the weekends together when we come to our campuses, but we're also studying the book of Proverbs all week long in our homes, thousands of homes all across this valley. Let me just refresh you again to the challenge that was given just a couple of weeks ago when we started this series called Wisdom. The idea is this, that there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And the challenge is this: read the chapter of Proverbs that corresponds to the day that you're living. So, like, this Monday will be September the 22nd. So you read Proverbs chapter 22. On Tuesday, it's the 23rd, so read chapter 23. And the idea is that we're studying the book of Proverbs together on the weekends, but we're also reading and studying the book of Proverbs all week long in our homes all across this valley. And then we've also added one other layer to it, and that is if you're on Twitter or Instagram and things like that that use hashtags, use these two hashtags. Attach those to something you tweet or something you put on Instagram so we can all follow each other. So maybe Monday, after you read chapter 22, you might say, man, that was an awesome verse, or I love this word in verse 8. And then use these hashtags so we can all follow each other and learn from each other and grow with each other, not just on the weekends, but all during the week. Man, it's been incredible the last few weeks, just interacting with hundreds and hundreds of people. And there's still 5 weeks left in this series, so there's still time for you to dive in and read the chapter that corresponds to the day and tweet some of those things, send some of those Instagrams out, and begin to do community with each other all week long. Well, today, here's what we're going to do. As we dive in again to the book of Proverbs, we're going to talk about anger. And anger is something that comes up every probably three or four chapters in the book of Proverbs. It's not silent on this subject, if you will. And to get us all headed in the same direction, let's just look at a few things that the book of Proverbs says. First of all, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24. By the way, chapter 22 is what you'll read on Monday if you read the chapter that corresponds to the day that we're living. It says this: do not make friends with a hot-tempered person, and do not associate with one who is easily angered. Everybody say angered. Anger. Don't associate with people like that. Why is that? Well, we learned a couple weeks ago that a lot of times you become like those that you hang around. And if you hang around people who are always hot-tempered, a lot of times that can seep into your life as well. So just be really careful about that and be understanding of that. Here's another verse, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 2. Quick-tempered leaders are like mad dogs. Cross them and they'll bite your head off. Some of you may know people and leaders like that, and you're thinking, yeah, that's very true. Or what about this one? Proverbs chapter 29. Stupid people express their anger openly, but sensible people are patient and hold it back. There's some wisdom in that as well, isn't there? By kind of holding your tongue and that sort of thing, not saying everything that you think. Or what about this one? Slowness to anger makes for deep understanding. A quick-tempered person stockpiles stupidity. I think that's a great analogy, isn't it? They stockpile stupidity. And here's the truth. We have to admit this, I think. On all of our campuses, every one of us, we all know what it feels like to get angry at times. Some of you are angry right now. You're thinking, I can't believe this is the subject. I mean, this is crazy. You're furious right now with me in church. We all know what it feels like to get angry from time to time. And here's the thing. We all express anger in different ways, in different levels, in a different fashion. And so I don't want to lose anybody on this message today, on this study. So I want to talk for just a moment about how we express frustration and anger, but how sometimes we do it in different ways. For some of you, when you express your anger, you're like this. It's like toxic waste. You just bury your anger and you just bury your frustration deep down in your life and you just kind of ignore it. But then after a few months or after a few years, it begins to seep out into your life, into your relationships. And it's toxic, isn't it, to you and the people around you. For some of you, it's this one. You're like a volcano. I mean, you get upset about something and you let it stew and rumble around for a few hours or a few days or a few weeks, and then nobody even really knows exactly why, but you get a button pushed and you explode and you spew ash and lava all over everybody. Anybody around you, whether they deserve it or not, and people walk on eggshells around you because they know your anger is like a volcano. And there's others of you who are thinking, that's so crazy. Why would anybody express their anger like that? Because here's how you express it. You're like this. You're like an ice storm. You just ice everybody out. You get upset about something, and everybody's asking you, hey, are you okay? And you say, oh, yeah. Are you sure? Because you don't seem okay. Oh, I'm good. Good, doing great. No, you don't seem great. And you just ice people out of your life. Others of you are like this. You're like a microwave. You have like zero incubation period. Right? When you get upset about something, everybody knows. A few minutes later, man, everybody knows what's going on. You count down and then you blast off. You're like a microwave. Somebody told me a little earlier that some of us are like a haboob. Well, we kind of come and we're gone and we don't even know what happened. You're just angry. There's all different ways, isn't there, to express anger in our lives. And the book of Proverbs says very clearly that anger is an issue in our lives, in our families, and in our culture. And today what I want us to do to gain even more insight into anger and how to handle it in our lives, I want us to bounce out of Proverbs for just a little bit, and I want you to find the book of Ephesians. If you have a Bible with you, find the book of Ephesians. If you have a smartphone or a tablet, find Ephesians. If you're using the CCV app to take notes, it's probably already on there. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4. This book of Ephesians was written by a guy named Paul. And he wrote this when he was in prison in Rome. So he had a lot that he could probably be frustrated and angry about. And I want you to look specifically at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. Here's what it says. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. In just those short two verses, there are two things that I want us to study today about anger. The first thing, if you're taking notes, is this. It's not a sin to get angry. It's not a sin to get angry. In verse 26, Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. In other words, you're going to have moments of anger in your life. So am I. The command is not, don't ever get angry. The command is this, in your anger, do not sin. That's the command. Here's what you need to know about anger. Anger is a neutral emotion. Anger is a neutral emotion. In other words, it can be good or it can be bad. Most of the time, we just think about anger being a bad thing. Bad expressions of anger. Here's a couple examples. Let's say you're in a parking lot and you're looking for the perfect parking space. Some of you know where I'm going with this. And you're just waiting there and you see the perfect space and the person has their taillights on. They're going to be pulling out and you've been waiting for, it seems like 20 minutes for them to actually pull out. And just as they pull out and you're getting ready to pull in, somebody swoops in. I mean, you have your blinker on and everything. They swoop in and they take your place, and you just lose it. Your kids are in the car. Who cares? You just lose it on this person. That's a bad expression of anger in our lives, especially if it would happen like in a CCV parking lot, right? I'm sure that's never happened. Or what about this? You go to the grocery store and you're getting off of work and you need to get in and you need to get out. So you go to the 10 items or less line. You just have four or five items. And you see the person in front of you start to put their things on that little conveyor belt. And you start counting. You ever been there? And you're thinking, hey, they've got maybe 15. They could have as many as 18. And you're ready to blow a gasket. Those are bad expressions of anger, negative expressions. But there are also good reasons to be angry. There's lots of things we could be angry about that are good. For instance, when you realize that the Super Bowl is coming to town and the Pro Bowl are coming to Phoenix this January and February, that's not a reason to get angry. But if you realize this, if you realize that along with the Pro Bowl and Super Bowl, we know that hundreds or maybe even thousands of girls, mainly girls, will be brought to our city for the sex trade. That should make you angry. That should make me upset, and we know that is happening in our city. I was reading a lot on this week, and Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott said this to the USA Today a couple of years ago when they were hosting the Super Bowl. He said this about the Super Bowl, and I quote, "It's commonly known as the largest human trafficking incident in the United States." The more I read the papers from all around the country, the more frustrated I got and the more angry I got. I read several articles and testimonies by a woman named Clemmie Greenlee. Clemmie, when she was younger, was involved in the sex traffic industry, and she's not involved in that anymore, but she can remember during Super Bowl times where she was required to sleep with a minimum of 25 men a day. And things like that should upset you, that happens in our city. You see, there is a righteous anger the Bible talks about, when kids are being abducted or abused, or when poor people are being oppressed. Or what about this? This is really another message for another time, but I got to deal with it since we're here, because this is a big one for me. What about this? What about when people use God's name in vain? They use Jesus' name in the wrong way. For me, you just need to know something about me. I can deal with a lot. I can deal with a lot of language from people. I can deal with a lot of stuff from people's life, but when people do that, I get upset. People say, oh my God, did you see that? Jesus Christ, that was so awesome. I hear people doing that, and I just want to run up and shake them. I shouldn't, but I want to. Run up and shake them and say, do you have any idea what you're doing? Do you know how God feels about his name? You're either ignorant to how he feels or you just don't care, and neither one of those things is okay. And there have been several times in my life I've about got beat up because I stood up. I was at a Chiefs game a while back, and I won't go into that story, but it was bad. I just about got, I'll edit myself there. But that upsets me when people misuse or take God's name and bring him up and then just discard it like it doesn't matter. And so what I want you to know as we begin to study this is that it's not a sin to get angry. There's times that you're going to get angry. A lot of times it's negative and bad, but sometimes it can be good. It's not a sin to get angry, but stay with me. Here's the second thing I want you to write down. It is a sin to stay angry. It is a sin to stay angry. It's not a sin to get angry, but it is a sin to stay angry. Paul goes on in verse 26 and look at what he says. He says, "Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." A lot of times, if you've heard that verse before, it's usually related to married people in our lives. You know, hey, don't go to bed angry, right? And that's true. In fact, in my life, with my wife, Renee, I'll just be honest with you. There have been several times throughout the course of our marriage where we have stayed up late. We've been up into the wee hours of the morning trying to work things out. And when we woke up the next morning, we were completely exhausted. But how many of you know it's better to be a little exhausted in the morning, and instead of just letting that anger continue to turn over and over and over in your heart all night long? I think it's a good thing to stay up late and to talk and try and resolve things in your life. But here's what all of us know. Here's what you know. There are some issues in your life and in your marriage that can't be resolved in a few hours. Isn't that true? You could stay up all night and you still wouldn't resolve this thing in your life. You know why that is? I'll tell you why. It's because your anger at night is often not directly related to something that happened that day. Let me say it again. This is important. Your anger at night is oftentimes not directly related to something that happened that day. Here's another thing to know about anger. Anger is always a secondary emotion. Anger is always going to be a secondary emotion in our lives. I do not know all of you on all of our campuses. Certainly all of you don't know me. But I can tell you something I know about all of us and the anger that exists in our lives. Every little bit of anger you have in your life, every little bit of frustration you have in your life is a direct result or reaction to something else that has occurred in your life. Anger is a secondary emotion. Or maybe an even better way to say it is like this. Anger is kind of like an iceberg. Take a look at this graphic, if you will. Anger is kind of like an iceberg in the fact that there's lots of other emotions that exist below the surface. They're not immediately obvious to other people in your life. Everybody can see that you're angry or frustrated about something, but the reason you feel that way is because you were hurt by someone or because you got humiliated in front of a bunch of people, and so it's anger that people see. Or you feel abandoned or ignored, or maybe you were abused or betrayed or deceived or rejected or any number of other things. Yeah, everybody can visibly see that you're upset, that you're angry, but what they don't know, what they can't see, and a lot of times we don't put together in our own lives, nor do we put together it in other people's lives, is that the real thing lies below the surface. And here's what's crazy. Let me just tell you something that's crazy. What you are visibly angry about in your life, whatever is making you angry could have actually occurred 2 or 3 days or weeks or years ago. And it is just now bubbling to the surface. In other words, you could have felt ignored by some friends 2 months ago. You could feel abandoned by your dad a decade ago. And it's just now, after 10 years, starting to come to the surface. That's why Paul says here in Ephesians, he says, hey, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. What he's saying is this: carry your anger, carry these emotions as short a time as possible. Learn to deal with them. Here's why. Here's why. Verse 27, look at verse 27. He says, and do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give the devil a foothold in your life. When you and I allow unresolved anger to exist in our lives and we carry it over from day to day and week to week and month to month and year to year, we end up giving the devil a foothold. Now, when the Bible says the word foothold, what it means is this. Foothold means to stake out a claim. To stake out a claim. That's what the devil is doing. He's staking out a claim in your life. In other words, he owns part of your heart. And when the devil stakes out a claim in your heart, let me tell you what he's going to do. Let me tell you how you're going to feel, because it may be hard to know if he's done this or not in your life. Let me tell you how you're going to feel. If you feel right now this emotion that I'm getting ready to describe to you, it's very likely that the devil has staked out a little claim in part of your heart. Here's what he'll do. Are you ready for this? Here's what the devil will do. He will convince you that other people owe you. That's what he'll do. He'll convince you that other people around you owe you something in your life. And I have not always understood this. I haven't always understood what I'm getting ready to share with you. I learned it several years ago, actually, from a book called It Came From Within by a pastor named Andy Stanley. And the whole deal with anger is this. The reason anger exists in your life and in mine is because we have come to believe that someone owes us something. Your boss owes you a promotion or more money because you've worked hard and he hasn't given it to you or she hasn't given it to you, so you're angry. Your neighbor borrowed something. They didn't return it, and so they owe you something. Your spouse owes you Because they broke their promise. Till death do we part, right? And so you feel like they owe you something in marriage, or maybe your mom or dad owes you something from childhood. But I promise you this, that anger exists in our lives because we have come to believe that somebody owes us something. And what Paul says in the book of Ephesians, he says, hey, listen, do not let that anger, do not let that feeling that somebody owes you something, don't let it carry over from season to season of your life. In other words, don't let that anger carry over from childhood into adolescence. And don't let your anger from adolescence carry over into young adulthood. And don't let your anger from young adulthood carry over into your marriage, right? Some of you know this, don't let the anger from your first marriage carry over into your second marriage. And here's why. It's because when the sun sets on a season of your life, it's very easy to lose sight of the original source of your hurt. When you and I have the sun set on any season of our life, it's really easy to lose sight of the original source of that pain and that hurt and that frustration. I was a youth pastor for 10 years of my life. And I worked with, loved on, took care of hundreds and hundreds of students. And I can't tell you how many young men I saw, I met, who in some way got hurt or frustrated in their childhood. Maybe they were neglected or abandoned or divorced or something like that. But I can't tell you how many young men I recognized felt that way in childhood. And then they carried that from their childhood over into their college life. And in college, they just kind of got in trouble and they couldn't seem to date a girl in a positive way. And then they went ahead and got married. And when they got married, they always seemed angry. And the spouse, the wife, would oftentimes say, hey, I don't know what I've done. I have no idea what I did. And here's what I think. I don't even think I did anything. I don't even know if this is about me. I don't even think this is about us. And a lot of times, she's right. A lot of times, this is anger that has been carried over from season to season to season of life. And it's so hard to deal with because the angry person has completely lost sight of the original source of their hurt and their pain. And that's why Paul says, he says, don't let the sun go down. Don't let a season of your life end while you're still angry. And I know that sounds great, right? It's wisdom. We know that's wisdom. It sounds great. And many of you are thinking, Todd, this is good. I'm writing this down. But you know it's so hard, isn't it? This is an incredibly difficult truth to metabolize into our lives today. It sounds good, but some of you are thinking, you're talking back and forth with me in your head right now. And here's what you're saying. You're saying, Todd, if I just let go of my anger, I'm just going to let someone off the hook. You understand that, right, Todd? I'm going to let someone off the hook, and they hurt me, and now they're getting away with it. If I just let my boss off the hook, or my coach, or my former best friend, or my ex-spouse, you know what they did to me? If I just let them off the hook, that wouldn't be what? Fair. That wouldn't be fair, Todd. And you know what? Of course it wouldn't be fair. That's why you're angry. Right? Because it's not fair. It wasn't right what was done to you. But here's just this. This is a massive, massive truth. If you can have the boldness to listen to this and digest it into your life, listen to this. If you must make everything in your life come out fair, then you're probably always going to be a little bit angry. Or a lot angry. If everything in life has to come out fair, you're always going to be angry because not everything in life is fair. I love what Paul goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 4. Take a look at this. He goes on to say this. He says, what we should do, just a couple verses later, verse 32, he says, what we should do is be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I know this is hard, but the reason that you and I can release this frustration or pain or hurt or anger to someone who has done unmentionable things possibly is because God, through his son Jesus, has already forgiven you. And you know you, right? You know where you've been and what you've done, and God has already forgiven you. I want you to know that forgiveness is anger's worst enemy. It really is. Forgiveness is anger's worst enemy. Forgiveness breaks the power of anger in our lives. Let me pull this together and just share with you some things that you and I can live out in our lives. These are three ways Andy talks about in his book that we can release anger and live a more free life than many of us tend to live. Here's the first thing. Identify who has made you angry. Who is it that has made you angry? Now, the temptation is going to be for you and I to just look at people right around us, people to the left, people to the right, maybe people at work later this week, maybe people that you go to school with. But the truth is, it may be people from several seasons back that have actually made you upset. Could it be that you have actually lost sight of the original source of your hurt and pain? And you have to be willing to kind of get into the weeds and identify who has made you angry. Is it somebody from the present or somebody from the past? That's the first thing that we can do in our lives. The second thing is to identify what was taken from you. Identify what it is that was taken from you. You cannot skip this, by the way. You can't skip this step. It's so important because if you cannot identify, if I cannot identify what it was that was taken, I won't really be able to forgive that person. And here's what we'll do. Here's how you can know if you've done this sometimes in your life. I've done this in my life. Here's what we say sometimes. Todd, hey, I tried to forgive him. It didn't work. It didn't take. Right? You ever been there? Hey, Todd, you don't understand. I have tried to forgive her. It didn't work. Can't do it. You know why it didn't work in your life and in mine? It didn't work because you and I didn't do the true heart work to understand what it is we really feel like that person owes us. And if we never really understand what that person owes us, then we can never really forgive that debt. What is it that they owe you or I? Is it a childhood? Is it a job? Is it a promotion? Is it a marriage? Is it your reputation? You'll never be able to experience freedom in your life and really offer forgiveness to somebody until you can discover what it is you really feel like that person owes you. And a lot of times, I promise you, this is buried so deep in your life or mind that you can't really discover it on your own. You're going to need a trusted friend to come alongside you. The last 2 weeks in this series and all throughout the book of Proverbs, it talks about community and trusted friends coming alongside us. This is one of the reasons why, to give perspective. You may need to go to a Christian counselor who can help you dive in deep and understand this in your life. But you have to identify who it is that you're angry with. You have to identify what it is you feel like has been taken from you. And then here's the third thing. You're just going to love this. It's going to be fantastic. You decide to forgive them. Some of you aren't even writing it down. You're like, I'm not going to write it down. No. You're rebelling. And I know, listen, hey, this is difficult. This is unbelievably difficult. To just forgive that person. Some of you, if you are just being truthful, you're like, man, Todd, I get it. I get the Proverbs. I get the Ephesians thing. It makes sense to me. But here's what you're saying in your mind. Todd, listen, I don't think I'm ready to do that today. I just don't think I'm ready to do that today. And you know what I would say to you? I understand. I mean, I understand, but I don't understand what's happened in your life. And I get it. In some ways, I don't blame you. But let me push you, and let me ask you one question. When do you think you will be ready? Maybe next week? Maybe next month? Maybe next year? Maybe as we start next year? When do you think you'll be ready? Because I can promise you this. I've seen it in my own life. The longer you carry frustration and hurt, in any level of anger around, the more you're just going to hurt yourself and your family and those around you. And here, this is huge. The longer you carry it, the bigger risk you take in losing sight of the original source of that pain and anger. And so here's the takeaway today. Here's the takeaway. Who do you need to forgive today? Who do you need to forgive today? Forgiveness is anger's worst enemy. Here's what's going to happen. I know this is difficult. At times, it seems impossible. But I want to give you just a few moments. The band is going to come out on all of our campuses, and they're going to sing a song that, believe me, the words to this song are so amazing and freeing and powerful and liberating in your life. So I want you to listen to this song. I want you to soak this up. Before we go out into a busy, hectic week, think about, who do you need to forgive today? Let me pray for you, and then listen to the words to this song. God, thank you for the opportunity for all of us to be here. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the book of Proverbs. Thank you for the book of Ephesians and the truth it gives us. God, it seems like you know us better than we even know ourselves a lot of times. It's like you can put your finger on places in our lives that we didn't even know hurt. God, I pray today that we would have the boldness and the guts to dive into this frustration, anger issue. We would allow this song to speak into our lives. And God, we would truly decide to forgive some people today in the same way that you have forgiven us through your son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Everyone says, amen. Listen to this song.